Our scripture today is found in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible as we read. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this, your word, which we're about to read. We ask you, Lord, for your presence, your mercy to be with us, to help us to hear what it is you want us to hear, to retain what it is that you want us to retain, that our lives may be encouraged or challenged as you see fit. We thank you, Lord, for your glorious presence. And I ask you for another piece of your mercy to be upon the sermon, that it may be as you desire it, that you may use it for whatever reasons you want to use it, and anything that is not from you may be forgotten. We thank you, Lord, for your love, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. Hear now God's word. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One familiar with Scrooge McDuck? Some. I grew up on cartoon. Of course, he had a large bank, and there was a depth gauge, as you see there, 90 feet. So 90 feet of gold that he would go and spend his relaxing times swimming in his gold. So we'll come back to that in just a moment. Just so you know, though, that swimming in gold is physically impossible. So, you know, but again, we'll get back to that. Okay, so Jesus is in the crowd talking to the people, teaching to them, and someone in the crowd interjects and asks Jesus a question. In this particular case, it was demanding Jesus in what his eyes would be justice. This has happened before. Someone's asked a question of Jesus. I don't know if you remember, but a rich young man comes up to Jesus and he says to him, middle teaching, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And as Jesus is wont to do, he challenges the question itself. And in this sense, he did the same thing. When the man came up to him and asked him, "Good teacher," and he says, "Why do you call me good? None are good except those who come from the Father." As to say, "Yes, I am good, but do you recognize why? Not because of what I've done, but because God has sent me." And so Jesus always, throughout the course of his ministry, at camp this year, a question was asked, "What is Jesus' favorite songs?" I was expecting a joke or something, but one didn't come. Instead, what the person said was, "Any songs about him is what Jesus would like." And actually, I disagree with that, because throughout Jesus' ministry, he constantly pushed the attention from himself off to the Father, constantly. That his purpose here was in order for people to see God through himself. And so he did the same with that man, but he does the same here. So he says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." His response, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Of course, the truth is, God did the appointing. But not just to be judge, but to be savior. To help people see not the wealth of the world, but to see the wealth of the kingdom. The kingdom which is of God and much greater than the wealth of this world. So Jesus sees instead the teachable moment. You see, money is a very big deal. Not just in our time, but in every time. People saw money as a way to wealth, the way to prosperity, the way to protection, the way to get those things that you need, those things that you want, the way to fulfill desires. Money was well sought after. Have you ever heard the saying that money is the root of all evil? Heard that? That's a false saying. It comes from Scripture, but that's not accurate to the Scripture. The more accurate is money is the root of all kinds of evil, not just all evil in general, but all different kinds of evil. You know, money can lead you. But again, that's still false to Scripture. The true quote is, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money itself is just a neutral entity. It's a tool, like a hammer. You can use a hammer for good things, for building buildings. You can also use a hammer for bad things, breaking windows of the person you're angry at. It's a tool that is used for different purposes based upon the user that uses it. Money in itself is nothing. The love of money becomes an issue. This is what Jesus is most concerned with. In fact, throughout his ministry, he preached about money more than anything else. And so he must have saw it as something very important and vital to his followers' lives. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere we look. In the Bible, all throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament, money being a very important subject, was seeing that if a person in their lives had great money, had much wealth, they were seen as blessed. And as we said in the children's message, what does it mean to be blessed? Touched by God. And so a rich person was blessed by God. But Jesus said to that other guy who said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The guy, Jesus said, follow all the commandments. And the guy said, I do. Jesus said, one thing you lack, sell all of your property, give it to the poor, and then follow me. The man was rich and he left sad. Right? Most of you know that story at least a little bit. And Jesus then said this, I tell you the truth, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And do you remember what the people's reactions were? They were shocked. If rich people can't make it into the kingdom of heaven, who can? Because again, the fallacy is if you are rich, you are blessed. If you are blessed, you are touched and chosen by God. Jesus is combating that way of thinking in this parable that he shares. Life, he says, does not consist in an abundance of possessions. So he tells his parable. Rich man gets even more money through all his grain. And what does he do? He builds bigger so that he can store more and that he will be okay throughout the rest of his life. God comes to him, today you're going to die. Why is this guy going to die? In the context of the story. Any idea? Because that's life. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't know how long we got. The guy had these great plans for the future, but who is he to know what the future holds? I'm going to live okay for a long time. God says, nope, you're going to live okay for a very short time. Your life will be required of you tonight. And then God says to him, now who's going to get your riches? Jesus' parable is a way of saying that the life that we live here on earth is only part of the rest of eternity. But what we gain here on earth in terms of possessions, we don't take where we go. I heard a woman after a manner, so you get the benefits of being the second church, told me this story, a joke, she says. He says, man and a very wealthy man and woman, the man was very sick, and he told his wife, when I die, I want you to bury all of our money with me. And she said, okay. And so he gets very sick, ill, passes away, and as he's laying in his coffin, the woman comes up to pay her last respects and writes him a check. Places it in the coffin, and then he is buried with it. We can't take with us what we have. Jesus' teaching here is interesting in that he doesn't say being rich is a sin. This man having great wealth and great grain, that's not a sin. There's nothing wrong with that. Having great wealth is having great wealth. The thing is what we do with it. Where do we put it as long as we have it here in our life? It's not the riches that are the problem. It's the use of the riches where the sticking point lies. If this man in his parable said, I have great grain, and this is fantastic, now I'll be able to take care of the village that I live in, I don't think God would have a problem. I think the man would remain rich, but he would be able to help those who are around him. One of my favorite scriptures I mentioned with the children today, Abraham, that he was blessed to be a blessing. Truth be told, we are all blessed in so many different ways here in this sanctuary. We are considered rich by much of the standards here on this earth that we live in. Being rich is not the problem. What do we do with it? How do we take the blessings that we have and use them for God's glory? Instead, we live in the society that we live in where it says, if you have, get more and keep it so that you have it. John Wesley had a saying, a sermon that he had done for his followers, for the people. And that sermon is a popular saying that maybe yins are familiar with. Let me pull it up here. I'm not going to read the whole sermon. But the saying for the sermon is, earn all you can and save all you can and give all you can. It's okay to earn money. Even okay to save money. Use what you can to give all you can. We've been talking for the past several weeks. There's been a recurring theme in the sermons, which was no fault of mine, but truth be told, it's a recurring theme in almost all of Scripture, and that's the importance of relationships that we find ourselves in. No person was created to be an island. We're not created to wander this world all by ourselves. We're created in order to be a blessing to one another, in order to be in each other's lives as best as we possibly can. And so with the blessings that we receive, the wealth that we have, we're not to swim in our gold, enjoying what we have, throwing it up in the air, but to use what we have to fulfill those needs that are around us. As a church, we may not always feel like we have enough, may feel like we always could use more. But God supplies for our needs, and even for the needs of those who are around us. I pray that we are a church and are Christians that are able to be blessed in order to be a blessing to others, however that might be. Share with you this final benediction. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace.